The portion of God's Word for our attention this morning is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. When is enough enough? I'm not thinking about food. Let's think for a moment about money. When would you get to the point when you would either earn or have enough money to be totally and utterly satisfied? Maybe you get to the point where you would say to your boss, "Oh, you know, I don't need that raise this year. Why don't you give my raise to someone else? I'm good where I'm at." Or maybe you've gone through some of the following scenarios in your mind. You know, if I could just get that job that pays $50,000 a year, ooh, boy, then I would be set. I would be totally happy with that. Or, you know, if I could make just a little bit more money, maybe $10,000 a year, well, then I think I would be happy. Or, you know, if I could earn just a little bit more so that I could move into a nicer place, well, then I think I would be okay with that. But what happens when we get that $50,000 a year job or that $10,000 raise or that nicer place? Well, we move on. We move on to the next increase and the next and the next, even if it's incrementally smaller. Many times we see that enough is never enough. Well, in this Bible reading for today, Paul describes a situation when he had to learn the hard way about enough. God had to teach him that his grace, his undeserved love and mercy was enough for Paul, regardless of the life situation in which he found himself. And that is a great lesson for us also. Now, a little bit of background for Paul's words of this reading. Paul had just described a pretty extraordinary experience. He had been given a glimpse of heaven. Yes, heaven. This was not something that happened every day. And it was something which, if it happens, well, then you're probably going to feel pretty special, pretty boastful, maybe even full of yourself. Think about how you feel when you get to do something or witness something that hardly anyone else gets to do or witness. You feel pretty puffed up, maybe you even want to brag a little. And so that's why Paul begins our passage by saying, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations." Paul knew that he needed his pride popped, and God provided. Paul says he gave him a thorn in the flesh. Now, if you want to research something for which countless ideas have been offered, just try to see if there's consensus on what this thorn in the flesh was. Bad eyesight, malaria, epilepsy, depression, migraines, a temptation to a particular sin. You name it, it's probably been suggested as something that was Paul's thorn in the flesh. But in the long run, it really doesn't matter what it was. The purpose was achieved. Paul was kept humble. He prayed 3 times for it to be taken away. And God said, nope. Well, actually what he said was, my grace is sufficient for you. Now maybe you've had that experience of praying and praying and praying for something to happen, for a particular cross that you've been bearing to be taken away, for God to fix something in your life, for him to take away a particular temptation to a sin that is a recurring thing in your life. And God says, no. But is he actually saying no? Or is he saying what he told Paul? Is he saying, my grace is sufficient for you? Well, that's not an easy answer for us to hear. God says, I've got this. Just keep relying on me. Well, that's easy for you to say, God. You don't know what my life is like. You haven't been in my shoes. You don't know what kind of temptations and expectations and pressures I face every day. You expect me to sit back and do nothing? Well, in the grand scheme of things, when we're talking about our eternal destiny, that's exactly what we need to do. Nothing. God doesn't know what our life is like. Well, I think Jesus would argue differently. Yes, God became one of us, taking on human flesh so that he knew exactly what our life was like. He faced all the same temptations and expectations and pressures that we face, and yet instead of crumbling into this little ball of hopelessness, he succeeded. He overcame every temptation that he ever faced. He met every one of his Father's expectations because he lived a perfect life. He successfully navigated through the pressures of everyday life, even having countless people constantly coming at him, demanding his time and attention. And he did all of this to save us. He did this to rescue us from our sin. He had to live and die and rise so that we can also. And that's really what Jesus meant when he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In his grace, Jesus did everything necessary for us to be his children, to be with him in heaven someday. Through his word and his sacraments, he brings us to trust, to believe in him as our Savior. And when he does that, he shares with us his power. He takes our cold, dead heart and he replaces it and gives us a new heart. He gives us new life. He gives us eternal life. Now, I can't really say that once Jesus brings us to believe in him as our Savior, that our life just all of a sudden becomes perfect. That's not what his grace is all about. Look at Paul. After God said that his thorn in the flesh was going to stay, how did Paul react? He said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Now, that's easier said than done, right? We don't like to admit that we're weak. We're taught to be independent. We're supposed to be self-sufficient, rugged individuals. We don't want to have to lean on anyone. But if we stop leaning on our Savior, on Jesus, what happens? Well, then we cut ourselves off from our source of strength. We've already talked about how weak we are on our own. It doesn't matter if we have a specific thorn in the flesh or not. We know that on our own, we can only stumble through this life, sinning the entire time, headed straight down that path that leads to hell. We need Jesus. We need the forgiveness of sins that he won for us by his perfect life and by his bloody death on the cross. We need his reassurance that he is always with us and that he will always forgive us no matter what. We need to be reminded, when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, we can never get enough of God's grace, and yet God's grace is enough. In fact, his grace, His love, His forgiveness is really everything that we need. Be content with your weakness then, that you are not strong because Jesus is your strength. Amen.